My name is Michelle Kramer Fitzgerald. I'm your guest host, and I welcome you to Delaware State of the Arts here on 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Today, I am pleased to have with me Delaware artist Mark Harris. Hi, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Good to be here.
Excellent. So for those who may not know you, give us a quick little update on you as an artist and what you do.
Well, I'm a printmaker, and I have a studio in Milton. And I've been printmaking for about 20 years now. For many, many years, I wrote poetry and I had some art background, but I began printmaking because one day I wrote a poem and had it accepted online all in the course of one day. So I wrote it in the morning. By the afternoon, it was online in a poetry journal online. And I thought, that's too quick. There wasn't enough sweat equity in that. So I decided that I would try to slow down. And one of the ways I thought to slow down was, if I had to set type in order to put my poem out, maybe I would think more about each individual word and its cost, because actually setting type is a fairly hard operation. So I learned to set type. And in doing so, I also decided, well, I could cut a few little tiny wood blocks to sort of illustrate or accompany the poems. And that's what got me started in making relief print wood blocks. But I primarily work in relief print, which involves having a block that you cut and then you ink it and you get a reverse of what you cut. That is to say, the areas that you cut out are left without ink. And it's a really interesting process, and I love the kind of work because it's very graphic. So that's what I've been doing. I come out of a long personal tradition of engagement with social issues and as a social activist. I'm an Episcopal priest, and in all of my ministry, I've in one way or another been involved in social action. So my work in the last 6 or 8 years has been almost entirely about how to look at the graphic arts as a vehicle for expressing concerns about social issues. So that's what I do.
I was so impressed by it, and I hope you take this as a compliment. I find it a little reminiscent of the early works by Andy Warhol. He was very into type. He was very into type and very into graphic elements. And I think I find a little bit of that in your work, and I happen to be a big Warhol fan. So I really appreciated that nod, subconsciously or consciously, to Warhol's work. So, but talk to me about the project and then the larger project as well.
Right. So what I'm doing is in the context of a larger set of concerns that I've had since the COVID outbreak began, which is that the numbers are really large. The numbers of people who have contracted COVID, the number of people who have died from COVID, and yet our real experiences turn out to be with people we know who have died or been ill. And trying to relate those two numbers is really difficult. So back at the beginning of COVID, along about, I guess, July of 2020, I started thinking about how could I make something that would represent what was a growingly large number in a way that could be comprehended. So I made a book, and it was two volumes. One volume is about 200 pages, no, 130 pages, sorry, that has 230,000 ones, the letter one printed over and over again, 230,000 times, which was the number of people who had died of COVID as of All Saints that first year, November the 1st. And then I had another book that had about 900,000 ones in it. You get 2,000 to a page, 900,000 ones that represented at that time the number of dead throughout the world. And so that was my first project, my first major project. And then when we got to the point of 500,000, 500,000, I made a really large, it's 14 feet wide and 5 feet tall, silk screened object with 500,000 dots on it. And the dots end up making a really interesting patterning, and it looks like birds flying up from a kind of a washed, a fiery background. So that was my representation of 500,000. And I did the same kind of thing for 600,000 with a smaller image. I discovered that 600,000 mustard seeds makes a really big pile. And I had a bowl with 600,000 mustard seeds in it. And I invited people, if they wanted, to take their hands and reach in and hold the seeds. And the seeds are very, very round and smooth. And so they run through your fingers like water. But it was just this very interesting, strange way to get your hands on 600,000 of something. So that was the project as it's been developing. And I knew that sometime in April or May of this year, we would likely pass the 1 million mark of COVID deaths in the United States. As we've approached this number, it's been fascinating for me to realize that people have stopped wanting to talk about the numbers, or at least they've faded from our view. So everybody got excited at 100,000, and people got really excited at 500,000 about how profoundly large this number was. But as we approach a million, people are kind of thinking it's time to move on, and we don't want to think about it anymore, and we've got other agendas, and there's the awful war in Ukraine going on, and just 100 things happening, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is that if we forget what an incredibly large number this is, I think we forget to do the grieving that we probably need to do. There are individuals who are grieving, of course, but in a sense, this kind of a corporate grieving that we kind of need to work through. So having some way to represent that kind of number was my project, which gets me to what I'm doing right now, which is a project involving 20 banners. They're about 7.5 feet tall and about 14 inches wide, made out of rice paper. So they're very thin and very fragile, on which I've printed a large letter M. M is the Roman numeral for 1,000. And so I've printed it 1,000 times, 50 times on each of these banners. And the banners are going to be hung as a group in a grid from the ceiling. And when you look at them from the side with lighting on them, they are slightly ephemeral and they blow in the breeze a little bit. And so they have a kind of aliveness to them. But at the same time, they're very stark in the sense that they're just 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000 over and over and over again. So that's the project. And finding a venue for that is actually fairly difficult. There's not a lot of places you can do that.
Most because of the size, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, because the size is not all that huge, but it's fairly large. I mean, it requires a space of maybe 15 feet square and 15 feet high. So a large section of a gallery, for example, or an entryway to a museum or whatever. But the problem is that most museums and galleries book 2 years in advance. So with a great deal of help and advice from Delaware Art Museum, they were willing to act as kind of an advocate for me to help find a space to do this in. I found a space in Lewis at St. Peter's Church in their parish hall. So I'm taking over the parish hall for 2 weeks. And it's going to be shown there and people can come and look at it and be in its presence and so forth. But then in May, on May the 12th, this is going to be installed at the Route 9 Library and Innovation Center. And the Delaware Division of the Arts has given me a small grant to help do the installation. And so it'll be there for a month. This, of course, all assumes that I can actually set it up the way it needs to be set up. I'm pretty sure I can, but you know, you don't know till you actually get there.
Right.
But that's the plan. It's going to be hung high enough there so that you can walk under it. So you can see it at a distance, and then you can come forward and you actually walk under it, and it will blow in the breeze a bit. So that's the plan.
It's quite an extraordinary plan, and it's a very striking and arresting exhibit. And I mean that not in any negative way, but it is definitely impactful. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Before we go on, I want to take a moment to remind all of our listeners that you're here with us on Delaware State of the Arts on 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. And today I'm talking with Delaware artist Mark Harris, who has created a very multimedia, multi-layered art exhibit that's going to be shown this month and next month. And it's something quite extraordinary that I think everyone should experience. I wonder, it's been such a harrowing time, right? These last 2 years. How did you come up with the pieces to, you know, extrapolate such an enormous number? Because you've given this number a huge physicality now, right? You see it in front of you. It's a huge number in such a beautiful way. How did you determine, okay, I'm going to make these panels that are so beautiful? How did that whole process unfold?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, I was looking for something that was tactile. The books were tactile. I mean, you could hold in your hand a book that had the numbers of all, a number for every person who died in the first 8 months of the COVID outbreak, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was very tactile. So that's what led me then to sort of thinking of that kind of possibility. And the second thing that I had done, the rather large piece with the 500,000 dots, that was sort of visually overwhelming in this. But if you looked at it at a distance, you could sort of see the whole thing and it began to make sense. If you look at it really up close and really, really close, it's like an Andy Warhol thing. You see the little dots, you don't actually see anything else.
Exactly.
So you have to see the whole thing at a distance.
But I like both of those perspectives. I like the perspective of seeing it as a whole and then seeing it up close and seeing the detail. I think that's really extraordinary too.
Right. And that was in a sense, that was almost like visual tactileness. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to think of, you know, visual as tactile, but the visual thing drew you in to want to see the individual dots as opposed to just the big number. Mm-hmm. And what it made me realize was the numbers are just numbers. I mean, we have numbers all over the place in our lives, you know? I mean, before you know it, we're talking about gigabytes of information.
Right.
There's just numbers. But what you want to know is how do I participate in some kind of way in those numbers? How do I relate to them? Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that leads us, I think, to, in the first place, to kind of a despair, but also beyond that, to a different kind of hope. I mean, for example, when I was trying to put together these banners, the idea behind it was essentially grew out of my experience of seeing the banners used by, or the little flags used by Tibetans as Tibetan prayer flags, that you fly these little flags until they disintegrate. But meanwhile, they are representative of prayer, but they're also about an individual that you know. So they're both a public thing. This is a prayer flag, but it's also, this is about my friend who is sick, right? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So in a way, these banners were meant to be kind of like prayers for the thousands. And yet at the same time, I know people who have been sick and have died from COVID. And so the whole banner becomes, in a kind of a way, about a particular person. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the banner, I'm not just seeing the number, I'm also seeing, oh yes, I'm flying this in memory of my friend, mm-hmm. or yes, or my family member, or my, you know, that kind of thing. So I came by the idea really actually because when I was ill 5 years ago with cancer, somebody put a set of prayer flags out on my front porch and they just recently disintegrated. I'm doing fine. So, but it made me think that there was a relationship between sort of large symbols, mm-hmm. which are general, right? Like the numbers are general, and very specific things like individuals. And the issue is how to find that connection. So these are just all experiments at trying to do that. And frankly, I don't know whether they succeed. They're what I do. And one of the great things about the luxury of my engagement with art is I don't have to make a living at it, right? I'm just doing stuff that I need to do. It's kind of like...
it's like exercise, maybe?
Well, it's very good. Yeah, it's kind of like a spiritual exercise. I'm doing the stuff I need to do to make sense out of what's happened. And what I find fascinating is also that it can also be very hopeful, because part of moving beyond all of this stuff is kind of like dealing with it. Right. This is not a big number. It's also a number that represents people I know. I've got to be able to do that grieving, and then I've got to get up and live again and do things, right?
You've created an interactive piece of art therapy.
We hope. When I exhibited some of the earlier pieces in the crypt area at St. Peter's, down in the lower level, it was in the middle of COVID, and people could come in masked, and they could only come in two or three at a time. And over the course of a week, we had hundreds of people come in, some of whom ended up in tears, because this was the first time that they had been anywhere outside their home where they could acknowledge the death of a family member. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it is kind of an interactive, therapeutic thingy. It also turns out, fortunately, to be art. Whether it's any good or not is another issue, but it's art, right? It's making symbols of feelings and concerns that can be shown publicly. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I think you've taken something that has been such a tremendous emotional and physical toll on so many of us and given it a humanistic piece and given it a very therapeutic outlet. And I think it's something really beautiful. And that's what art does, right? That's what art helps us do.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's pretty much what I'm up to these days. Although I'm now involved in another project, which is looking at the relationship between resistance and hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of printmaking is about resistance to one issue or one thing or another. But what does resistance point to in the way of hope? So I'm now involved in a project of beginning to try to do that.
Can you remind us where we can see your current exhibit? And give me the actual title of the exhibit, because I'm sure I didn't say that.
1,000,000 Remembering a Million COVID Deaths. It's going to be at St. Peter's Church in the Parish House, beginning, I hope, this coming Tuesday, the 19th, and running through the end of the month. And then on May the 12th, it should be installed at the 9th Route 9 Library and Innovation Center in Newcastle, and it will be there for a month. And it's really nice that it got a little underwriting from the Delaware Division of the Arts, because that's made it a lot easier. This thing is not for sale, right? It's a thing, right?
So
it's an installation. And by the way, it's so brittle, it's so fragile that it will, like a prayer flag, it will eventually rip and tear and fall apart. And that's okay, right? Because that's right. What happens things when they die, right?
That's true.
So, so this has been really helpful to have that kind of support to do this.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see it. And I thank you for connecting all of those dots, as we say, to, you know, to toward healing and toward communication with one another. I think that's a really great way to do it. Where can people find more about you or other works that you've done? Where can we find out a little bit more about you?
I have a website. It's called Preludium Arts, Preludium Arts, .net. And there is some of the sampling of my stuff there. There are several YouTube pieces about the set of books that I did and the shows that I've done at St. Peter's in the Crypt. They're just little short videos. And they can be found by searching for Mark Harris on YouTube, and you'll find them.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I want to wrap things up by saying thank you, Mark Harris, for talking with me today and for creating this incredible piece of art, therapy, and mindfulness. We really appreciate it. I am Michelle Kramer Fitzgerald, and this has been Delaware State of the Arts on 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. It's been great to be here.